We've been talking about the responsibilities that a house church leader would have. And obviously one of the big responsibilities is how do you actually lead the meeting. That's part of it. But the reason I emphasized some other areas in the last session was I wanted to be clear. It's leading a house church is leading a family. It's leading a group of people. It's not just leading a meeting. I have a family, a wonderful wife, four wonderful children. We grew up before the kids get married. Bottom line was there were six of us in our family. And it was because we ate a meal at 5 o'clock every night together. It was because we were a family. Yes, the family ate a meal. It's because we were a family. I was responsible for those in our family, not just at 5 o'clock every night. I was responsible for them to help them grow and become all they could ever be in God. The same thing is true with leadership in a house church, really any church, but it's really exemplified. You really see it. It's magnified in a house church setting. Because the parents, the spiritual parents, are the senior leaders, lead elders, senior elders, whatever you want to call them, of the local house church. So I want to read you a scripture that applies to the meeting, and then hopefully we'll have some time in this session and talk about some other responsibilities also that are even outside the meeting. The scripture I want to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church." Now, let's get real. How could that verse fit in most churches today? How could that fit in a church of 100 people? How could it fit when you come together, everyone has a hymn? You'd be there all day. You know, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, interpretation. And then he says, but everything that happens, that's where leadership comes in. It must be done for the strengthening of the church. That's why I believe so much in house church. In a house church of 10 people, or 8 people, or 20 people, you can do those things. Someone can come with a song. Someone can come with some instruction. Someone can come with a revelation, or interpretation, or a gifts of the Spirit, tongue interpretation, prophecy, whatever. You can do that in a house church. You can do some of that in a larger church setting, but a house church, it really happens. That's why I encourage pastors of large churches have some kind of small house fellowship expression somehow for everyone so they can experience the Bible, so they can experience that. Now, what does this say about house church leadership? Here's the word I want to use. The best house church leaders I know are not necessarily the best preachers. They're not necessarily, you know, the most dynamic, charismatic leaders. They're shepherds. They care for people. They love people. And they are facilitators. That's the word. They're facilitators. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. What is a facilitator? Because to lead a house church meeting, yes, there's food. Yes, as I said before, we encourage that. You don't have to have food, but we encourage it. You know, because something happens relationally around food that doesn't happen any other way. Yes, I think it's some time of worship. Whether or not you have a CD or, you know, that you play or someone plays the guitar or you simply read scripture. Again, every house church is different. And you need to do what God's called you to do. Be your own unique house church before the Lord. The values of the kingdom don't change. The scripture doesn't change. But the way it works out will change. Now, what will a wise leader do if they're a facilitator? Let's say you're in a house church. I'm the leader. And you're there. Let's say there's, I don't know, 12 people in a house church. Now, if I'm a facilitator, let me give you an example of what I do. We'll come together and after we'll have some worship together. Then I'll say something like this. I'll say, tell me what's happened in your life last week. Have you seen God in any situation in your life last week? If so, what did that look like? Or I can say, did you have any answers to prayer last week? Or I'll just ask something. Or I'll say, what do you remember from the last house church meeting? What did you take home? What were your takeaways? What did you take home? And I'll wait. And Sally says something. I say, okay, that's good, Sally. And John says something totally different. And then Jack says, yeah, my child, because often what happens is the children, there may be somebody in the house church, they'll take turns different times, different weeks, and they'll be ministering to the children. Or someone from another house church who meets another night of the week can also minister to the children. You can share responsibilities. Say, this happened to my child. This happened, and we're so thankful for this. They're giving a testimony. And you're listening. Five people are speaking. You haven't said a thing except tell me what you think. You're a facilitator. And all at once, it's different than Sunday morning church in a building where you have the most anointed preacher, most anointed worship leader, and those things are all wonderful and good. There's only a few people who are actually ministering. Here you have many people who are learning to minister. That's the genius in the spirit of the house church ministry. But you have become the facilitator. So I encourage you to be a facilitator. It doesn't mean there's no times of teaching. It doesn't mean there's no times of preaching or whatever you do in your house church. There's many ways you can do that. I mean, the internet today has many opportunities for you, from sermon jams, as I mentioned before, there's all kinds of opportunities that you can have for people to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, share something from Scripture, and then simply talk about it. How does this apply to your life or my life? Something I learned many years ago from a friend from Houston, Texas, was that in a small group meeting, including house church, there are four basic components. I'll have to give my friend Ralph Neighbor, give him the credit for learning this from him. He said, I've learned there are four W's. He said, the first W in a meeting, and this applied more to small group, but I find the same thing applies to house church. This is not a rule you have to do these four things, but it gives you some structure, give you a sense of making sure you have a pattern that you can follow. If Holy Spirit rips this apart to something different, that's great. But gives you a place to start. The four W's are simply this: welcome, worship, word, and works. The works of God. Let me start with welcome. If you have food, the welcome's happening. If you have food, people are welcoming one another, getting to know one another, new people are coming, saying, hey, sit down and have some pizza with me, or Chinese food, or Indian food, or wherever you're at in the world, Kenyan food, or wherever you're at in the world, and say, let's have some food together, and you share together in food. Or if you do not have food, there's some kind of welcome, you get to know people, you might ask some kind of a question that people can respond to, it could be something light, but something they can connect with. That is the first. And basically, welcome is the relationship from you to me. It's that horizontal relationship. That's the first thing. So, to use the analogy that we used earlier, in the welcome, you have living stones who are beginning to connect with one another. That's welcome. So this living stone is learning about this living stone. And all this, and you say, no, we had to pray because my mother was sick and went to a hospital. And I'm reaching out to this guy at work, but he's really resisting it. And I need some prayer. And all at once, you're getting this kind of relationship together. That is the horizontal relationship. And that's important. That's the first W. That is the welcome. The second W that we want to look at is worship. And again, it can be any way. We have many, many house churches I found throughout the nations. You can just use your phone, and you can play some. I'm grateful for places like Bethel and Hillsong in Australia, and on these places have these worship songs to honor God. And we can use those to worship the Lord together. Or if you're somebody who's gifted, use their gift. They play the guitar, the piano, they sing, whatever, when we worship together. Somebody reads Scripture, read the Psalms together, the Apostles' Creed, or whatever fits with the genre of your local house church. That's the second. That is worship. It doesn't have to be that long, but we need a time of getting before the presence of God. The third thing is the Word. And by the way, worship is me and us to God, vertical. So, first, living stones, each other, the welcome, us to one another, horizontal. Then you have the vertical, it's us to God. And then the Word of God is God speaking to us. So that's what we need, the Word, and however you do that. And I would encourage you not to have long, drawn-out teachings, because I think that the blessing of house church is you can teach for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then have people respond. What's God saying to you? Is there something that's in this Scripture that applies to your life or that you find jumps off the page to you? And what's happening then is you simply see the Word. Many people use what's called a discovery Bible study. You can Google that. And where they take a Scripture, they'll take a story, and they have certain questions about that. It gets everybody involved, everybody committed to the Scripture. You're coming back next week. When you come back together again, say, what has God done? What has God shown me? What's applied to my life? It's wonderful. There's many ways to do this. It's the Word of God. So, and the last one is the works of God. And what I mean by that is prayer and evangelism. It's God working through us. So, welcome me to you and you to me. First W. Second W, worship me and us to God. Third W, the Word, God to us or God to me. And the fourth W, works, prayer and evangelism, the works of God, God's through us. And that's where we have the opportunity that we can say, does anybody need prayer? We've seen God do so many things. We laid hands on one another. We prayed. We prayed for the empty chair, or the two empty chairs, that God would bring people into the kingdom of God. We prayed for people they're reaching out to at work or wherever that might be. So I have found, honestly, though, when it comes to house church, the meeting after the meeting is more important than the meeting. Let me explain that. The meeting after the meeting is you have the things you do. You eat and you worship and you pray. Again, if you do three of the four or two of the four, obey the Holy Spirit. It just gives us a starting point. It gives us a pattern to help us. It's like lighting the match to start the fire. And so we do that, but there's times that God may lead us to have the meeting a bit shorter, and then after the meeting becomes more important than the meeting. Here's what I mean by the meeting after the meeting. When you have two people who begin to get together and somebody's crying and they're over here on one side of the room, God is ministering powerfully after the meeting. It's a meeting after the meeting where people really begin to open up about their lives and the struggle with their children in school or a lack of school, whatever's going through, the meeting after the meeting. I think my favorite house church meeting that I ever was involved in, as I think back in many, many years, was when we had some new Christians who had come to our house church. And they came to our house church, but one night they called me and said, "We're not coming tonight. We're busy." I said, "What are you doing?" They said, "We have some work we have to do at our house, in our lawn, around our house." And my first thought, honestly, was I wish they'd be committed. And then I got this divine idea from the Lord. I said, "Tonight, when we all get together and get our Bibles, let's just put our Bibles back in the car. Let's all of us go to their house. And let's help them. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's help them with the lawn, do what they need to do." It was amazing. I look back, it's probably one of my, if not my all-time favorite house church meeting. It really wasn't a meeting. It was us being a family together and serving them. You can do prayer walks together. There's so many things. It's not always staying around a circle with a Bible on your lap. It's taking the living Christ with us, with this family God's given us, growing together, learning together, expecting that we will send out other people and other churches and new churches in the future to see the kingdom of God advance. So a couple more things that I think would give clarity. You say, people ask me, must we have food? You don't have to, but it's great if you can. It just something about food in your hand and a cup in your hand drinking that causes people to be able to somehow open up about their lives and see these living stones really, really come together. People ask me often about spiritual gifts, supernatural spiritual gifts. I think the house church is a great place to see spiritual gifts released. You say, what if someone makes a mistake? We all do. The Bible says we should not despise prophecy, and we should not despise it, but we should test all things, hold on fast to that which is good. The house church is a great place because the leadership of the house church that need to learn to give the guidance that's needed in the midst of the house church setting. I remember we had a guy came for the first time. I was a house church leader. He came for the first time, and he began to speak in this demonic language. It was horrible. It made chills go up your spine. I thought, whoa, there's something wrong here. Well, I was responsible. I was the leader of the group. Myself and assistant leader took that person into another room, and he had a time of deliverance, getting free from demonic activity, because we were responsible. Remember, when God makes you're responsible for the family. You bring protection, correction, and direction to the family. That's what elders do in a local church, whether it's a large church or a small church. They bring protection, they bring correction, and the protection, direction, and correction to the local church. I would encourage you to use a home that people are free to come to. Again, every culture is different, but many cultures needs to be a home that's clean enough that doesn't turn people off, so to speak. And I say keep the meetings as short as possible, an hour, perhaps an hour and a quarter, maybe an hour and a half maximum. And then so you have time for the meeting after the meeting. And again, worship can be in many, many, many different ways. People often ask this. They say, what about children? And I mentioned to you what we do in our house church that we're involved with right now, where we have some people who recall the children. And every other week, 1 week, the children are in the whole time. And our house church leader has a gift to bring the children into the teaching. It works great. Everyone cannot do that. Sometimes you share responsibility, as I said before, where it's another house church and there's two house churches in the same area, meet two different nights, and you have people from this house church serve this house church with children. Children need to be ministered to. They should not just be involved in recreation or sports or whatever while the children, their parents are involved in worshiping the Lord. They need to have their own experience with God. And there's many ways to do that. Sometimes house churches will have the children in all the time. But it takes a special group of people to do that. Again, you have to know what works for you. And you need to hear from the Holy Spirit on that. And you'll see wonderful things happen as you obey God in that and in the midst of that. Let me say something yet about finances. It's really important that in our house church that we always have, we take offerings every week. We take, people give gifts, they give offerings, we encourage people to tithe. And then the eldership of that house church makes a decision on that tithe. And in fact, and then they give a tenth of that because they're involved in a network of house churches. They give a tenth of the tithe. They give that to the leadership team of the network of the house churches. And plus in fact, even the leader of the house church gives his tithe to that group, because rather than tithing into his own church where he makes a decision, others make that decision. But what I'm saying is that it's important that we're people of integrity. And so often I'll see two people who are designated, and they'll be counting the money together. And they'll be signing a little piece of paper, the amount of money, giving to the person in the house church who's the treasurer, because we need to be people of integrity. And, you know, house church, remember, it's family. Celebrate birthdays. Celebrate anniversaries. You know, celebrate. Jesus loves when we celebrate. We celebrate Him, and we celebrate what He's doing in our midst. House churches baptize people, have communion, the sacraments, all can happen in the house church. And because we see in the scriptures, remember, in the New Testament church, they met from house to house. Baby dedications, house church, it's church. So whatever's happening is happening in the house church. And again, I'm going to try to answer the question I'm asked so many times, I mentioned earlier. How many people in a house church? It can be 5, it can be 3, it can be 10, it can be 50 or more, even though I don't recommend that. But the key is that here's the difference between being house church, a multiplying house church and community church. In a house church, as it begins to grow, we realize, okay, we need to start another house church. Now, what happens when there's small groups in a community church, they multiply small groups in a community church, but still part of the same church. In a house church, you're starting a whole new church that's part of the network and growing network. There are some amazing house church networks in India today, Myanmar today, in many, many nations. America today is happening in America from coast to coast. I know house church networks, just that even the word is involved with, right here in this nation. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in many parts of the world. And again, it's something new that God's doing, but it's not new. It's as old as the Bible. The church in the New Testament was a house church network. They met publicly at times, Solomon's Temple, Acts 15, they met together when the apostles came back and spoke to the church, but they met from house to house. And again, the first church building, as I said earlier, was built in 323 AD. So the first few hundred years of the early church, the church was a house church network of networks of networks of networks. God's restoring His church today. And one of the ways He's doing that is by seeing people who get this heart for the Lord to start brand new house churches. I remember speaking at a mega church leadership training gathering, and an elderly man came up to me, and he said, "Could I talk to you?" He took me to Sunday school room in the back of the auditorium, and he began to weep. He said, "I love this church. I love this pastor. I've been here for many years, but I have a call to be a pastor." He said, "And I don't think it's going to ever happen. I've called to be a pastor." And I knew immediately, I mean, it was not a church that was part of our family of churches, and I didn't really have authority in that church. I knew immediately what he was talking about. And, you know, he went on to be with the Lord a few years ago. To my knowledge, he never experienced that opportunity to be a pastor. But had he been released from his church to start a house church, he could have fulfilled the call of God in his life to be the pastor he was called to be. I believe there's many who are taking this course. And you've been involved, and some of you in church for years. Some of you more recently, but some of you for years. But God's calling you to be a house church planter, a house church leader. There's a pastoral call in your life that will be released as you obey the Lord in this day. And I pray right now for the blessing of God to be over you in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would rise up and take the mantle the Lord's given you. And you would begin to not only be involved in house church, but you'd be involved to see house churches planted for the glory of God. Amen.